Hello, welcome to Ryecast. I'm James Stewart, and this is the new podcast for Rye. Today's episode features two people who are doing something different, both for themselves and also for our town. One who's working in a very crowded field and determined to make a mark, and the other who's doing something unique, unusual, and who gets a very different view, literally, of Rye on top of his day job. Plus, there are tiger moths, butterflies, Elvis, and the blues. This is Ryecast. It's a beautiful day in Rye, virtually cloudless, there's no wind, and I'm at Rye Windmill B&B. The weather actually is fairly important to today's story because I'm here with Stuart Cooper, who's recreating an old photo of the windmill using one of his drones.
What I want to do is do the same as we did before, but with the gimbal that way round. So you can tip the gimbal up so it can look up because it's got a free rotating gimbal. So as you go up, you can point the gimbal down as you go up. And this is the sort of thing that, you know, is good for Instagram, that format.
He's working the controls and watching the screen closely, making the drone go up and down and side to side. And the pictures are amazing. A totally different way of looking at Rye.
You don't want to land on that nasty gravel.
I found Stuart when scrolling through Instagram and came across some brilliant drone shots on his feed. That's clear air flying. So we've met up at the windmill for a chat. The drone is now very safely on the ground, but you've had to let people know officially that you've been flying.
Because we're so close to the railway, it's a good idea to fill out a form and notify Network Rail so that they know if there's any kind of problem. You know, it's a lovely day, there's hardly any, well, there's some wind now, but when we were flying there was hardly any wind. And also, I'm only flying between 11 and 11.30 when there are no trains on the track.
There must be days when you think it's going to be perfect and you get down there and it's just not going to work at all.
This particular one, given that it's as light as it is, you'd be surprised how well it copes with the wind. It's just astonishing. They bounce around like nobody's business, and then you look at the footage and it's as smooth as butter. But, you know, if you can have it nice and quiet, it's much better flying the low winds.
And you can't go over crowds?
No. That's pretty much a blanket rule for all classes of drone. Basically, it's if people can't escape. So the same would be true if there was like a group of people on a boat. You can't overfly that boat because they wouldn't be able to get out of your way if the drone were to suddenly fall out of the sky.
What training have you had?
Well, you don't need any training at all to fly these, but currently I'm taking the A2 CFC, which is a certificate of competency. Now, you don't have to have that for this kind of drone. That's only for larger drones. It's a good certificate to have. It teaches you stuff about flight safety, and it fits nicely with the PPL stuff I used to do when I flew proper planes.
Tell me about that. What were you flying?
I started off in a Piper Tomahawk. That's what you learned in at Biggin Hill. That's where I learned to fly, and then moved on to renting aircraft from a hangar at Biggin Hill, and then I also flew at Rochester, and I flew at the Tiger Club when it was down at Headcorn, so you could fly tiger moths and various aerobatic aircraft and stuff like that. So I started doing aerobatics, and then I ran out of money.
Aerobatics?
Yeah.
Proper loop-the-loop?
Yeah. They do all that at Headcorn. They still do it at Headcorn, but the Tiger Club's not there anymore.
That must be incredible.
It's a lot of fun. Slingsby Firefly was the one that I used to do a lot, and we used to come over here, funnily enough, because you can't fly high enough, and obviously you want distance between you and the ground when you're doing aerobatics. The higher you are, the better you are, and you can go up to 5,500 feet here, so you can get nice and high. And then if you make a big old mess of it, which I did on one occasion, and when you're pointing towards the ground at 150 miles an hour, it's nice to have a bit of time to go, "Ooh, can we fix this?"
You do wrong. What happened?
But I screwed up a loop. So when you go over the top of a loop, you're supposed to ease off the stick, and I didn't. So instead of going around the rest of the loop, we sort of just fell off the top and then ended up pointing at the ground. I had an instructor with me, obviously. I just said, "Well, do you want to fix this?" So he sorted it out. That was when I think I passed out at that point, because when you pull quite a lot of G coming out from vertical, it's safe. You've got a lot of time to, you know, you've got a good minute before you hit the ground.
So you've always had an interest in aviation and aerial displays and that sort of thing. Why the drone?
Because I can't afford to fly real aircraft anymore. And also I've been doing a lot of photography you know, all my life really, and this is, gives you a chance to take really nice photographs and video from a different perspective.
When I looked at your Instagram page, I really liked was seeing Rye from a completely different angle, because there are some chocolate box shots of Rye that you always see, and even actually the ones from the air you sometimes see are always exactly the same. But there was one of yours which was just beautiful, which was, I think, taken from above the boatyards opposite the Rock Channel, which made the river and the boatyards, and then the view back into the town over the Strand, up towards the Mint and away towards the High Street. It was just beautiful. How did you choose that one?
Well, I used to have an office down there in the boatyard at Rock Channel when Gary still ran it. Now Martello's own it now. And a friend of mine's got a boat down there as well. So that one I launched from his boat and we took the picture from there. But yeah, it's gorgeous down there. It's lovely.
There's no shortage of good places to shoot then?
Not round here, no. I mean, you need to do it at the right time of day, because obviously Rye can be really busy during the weekend, middle of the day on a Saturday, so you don't want to be in the air then. But, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning when there's no one around, or 9 o'clock on a Monday evening when it's empty, it's fine. But it's a beautiful place.
And it gets you outside, because your normal job is IT, hunched in front of a computer, so...
Yeah, I spend all day just sat in front of a computer screen, so it's nice to be out here and doing something a bit different and, you know, a bit of a side gig.
But you'd never leave IT for this, would you?
No, IT consulting is my main job, and this is a nice little side gig.
How come you ended up in Rye?
We moved down on the day of the London bombings with my ex, so 17 years ago, and it's just beautiful down here. And I felt, and I'm sure a lot of people say this, it was like stepping back in time. Just the difference. I knew more people down here within a week of moving here than in 15 years in my previous place. Everyone's just welcoming and friendly, and yeah, it's just lovely.
What does it mean to you?
It's a great place to bring my son up. I mean, he doesn't know any different. I remember we went after school to a friend's place and I went round to pick him up, and he was sitting in the garden overlooking all the fields just having a picnic with these other kids, and I thought, you've no idea how lucky you are.
So we've talked about drones, we've talked about the IT business, but the other passion of yours is butterflies.
I was into butterflies when I was tiny, like 6 or 7 years old, probably because of my dad. But in those days you'd go off and catch them in bottles and pin them and stuff like that, which obviously people don't do anymore, for good reason. I mean, coming down here, there was a noticeable difference. I came down here and suddenly I was seeing butterflies. I'd never seen in my life, and you see way more stuff. There's so much more wildlife around here.
What have you seen recently?
Well, I popped into Beckley Woods, and you can always guarantee to see White Admiral, Silverwash Fritillary, always in there.
Is there a butterfly that you dream of seeing?
Ah, well, there's one I've only ever seen one of, which I need to get over to the Nep Wildland, which is worth a visit, which I've not been to yet, which is Purple Emperor, which is like the king of butterflies in the UK. Seen one my entire life.
What is it about butterflies? Why are they so special?
I don't know, really. I mean, the White Admiral, I really like the way the White Admiral flies. There's a lot more to butterflies than you think. Like the Silverwash Fritillary. Again, if you go into Beckley Woods, you'll see them doing this. The male will fly around the female in spirals as she's flying along in a straight line, dumping pheromones on top of her. And then if she takes a fancy to him, then they land and mate. Or otherwise he just wanders off and tries it with another lady.
So if I want to see butterflies having fun, Beckley Wood is the place to be, is it?
Beckley Woods, Flat Roper's Wood, Breed High Woods, which is a Woodland Trust property, which is fantastic. That's a gorgeous place, but Flat Roper's and Beckley are very, very good.
Stuart, thanks for your time today. Where can people see your amazing photography?
So Instagram and Facebook, Clear Air Flying, all one word.
And if Stuart is doing something different alongside his day job, Mark Tozer has set up a new business in Rye up against some very long-established rivals. He's determined to do things differently. So I've come along to his office. It's on Ferry Road, just opposite the Chinese Takeaway. It's the building that used to be a sandwich shop, and before that, the place where you took your photos to be developed. Now it's Oliver's, Mark's new estate agency. It's only been open 3 weeks or so. Let's find out how business is going. Inside, it's very different. There's no standard office furniture, no photos of the houses on the books and the window. There's dark blue paint everywhere, some artwork and a bar with cocktails. It's more like a room in a boutique hotel than an estate agency. So, Mark, after years working for big agencies and corporates, you've set up Olivers. Why now?
For me, I've got to a point in my career where I want to enjoy my days and how I work. I love interacting with people, and a house purchase to so many people is like the most important thing of their life at that time. And when you get involved with it and actually enjoy the people you meet, help them find properties, help them sell properties, it's actually one of the most enjoyable experiences you can have. And for me, working for so many companies, that enjoyment was almost taken away. And I just want to step back now and go, do you know what? I want to build something, but not just for myself, for my family, that we can be proud of. And say, do you know what? I knew it could be done the way I thought it could be done. So now is the time to do it.
And family is in the name, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So Oliver's my son. He's a little 10-year-old, goes to school in Peasmarsh, absolutely fantastic character. And part of that why now question kind of evolves into that, because I look at my children and think, okay, now's the time to show them that if you want to achieve something and put your mind to it, you can do it. And the importance of the name Oliver was that I came in every day and saw that name on the door. And then I had to remember why I created this and why we wanted to do it in a certain way that was so different to other estate agents. And it's a reminder daily that Oliver will be questioning me if I don't do it the way I do it.
Why do we need a new estate agent in Rye?
It's an interesting question. And yes, there's big firms here that have been operating for years and offering a service that obviously people have enjoyed. One thing for me and why we've opened this is to be able to offer something completely different. Not everybody has an enjoyable experience. There are many that do, but some people just want things done a different way. And for me, it was being able to offer a different option. There's options in everything here. You know, there's different fruit and veg places, there's different butchers, there's different bars. We go to and gravitate towards the places we feel comfortable, and it's being able to offer a service that people can come and feel comfortable for that is so different to what they've experienced. So the word need is strong. As far as needing one here, it's being able to provide something completely different that, you know, some people have been waiting for and looking for. We're not detracting from these guys at all, but we just want to go, do you know what, there's a way Olivers are going to do it, and if you feel that's the right way for you, then come to us.
So how did it feel when you gave in your notice earlier in the year?
Interesting. Clearly, it'll always be scary, but you know, it was actually a really exciting moment because this has been in my mind for a long time about building a product. And wherever I've worked, I've introduced that thought process to those companies as much as I can, especially in independents. But just to go, right, I can sit down now and I'm accountable for absolutely everything I do. And I've always said this is how we want to build this model. So now I get to prove that. So when I left there, yeah, there's a bit of, oh, this is new and this is interesting. But at the same time, it's no, do you know, this is exciting because my family will be involved as well. Do you know, my wife will come down and help out with viewings, and it's just something exciting. Excited was the word.
But the pressure is different, surely, because when you're working for a big firm, you've got a manager who's determined that you should hit your targets. You've got the end of the month bonus that you've got to go for. Now, you don't have any of that.
100%, yeah. The end of month bonus or the figures that a branch manager, an area manager, or even the negotiators have to produce monthly is very stressful and can almost hinder them in their work during the month and take away the actual service they're providing for their client because they're so concerned about hitting a figure so the area manager, the managing director can go, oh, look what we've done this month, and not really care about why we were actually selling that house for that person. So there's always going to be pressures because we're a business and we need to keep this place turning over monthly. However, we get to do it in a different way where we're not going to have to hit a certain target to influence somebody else's pay packet. It literally is that we can keep this running and provide what we want to our client, because if we do that, the business will always continue and grow as long as we look after the right person and not try to fill the pockets of somebody that's much higher up.
You've only been going for a few weeks. Have you had your first sale yet?
Sold a few properties, which is fantastic. We've sold about four that have come in. We've sold one that hasn't even gone live yet, which is fantastic. So the ball is rolling now. We're starting to get out there and canvas to let people know we exist. And it's like a domino effect. Now that process has started, it'll build and build over the next few months.
And what about Rye? What does Rye mean to you?
Rye, in its entirety, means home to me. And because I live in Peasmarsh, because I've brought my family up here, and my dad, who's a blues musician, lives down the road, who used to gig here, and I'd follow him around playing his blues music, it's home. Whether it's one of the villages, popping into the horse and cart in Peasmarsh for a meal, coming down here to the Grapevine to listen to one of my friends play music, it's just what I was brought up on, but now where I'm bringing my family up, so it's home.
What sort of music did it get you listening to?
First music I ever heard was Elvis Presley singing That's All Right Mama at the age of 4 or 5, and I'd be bopping around the house to that. And then I was introduced to artists like Buddy Guy and Muddy Waters, and my dad would be playing there, playing flick blues on the guitar, playing the harmonica. And then we'd be dragged off to gigs as well around London, which was really interesting. So down in Putney, Half Moon, where a lot of gigs used to take place, we'd be dragged to places like that and sit in the corner going, wow, this is fantastic. So he's definitely a character. We'd follow him around, he'd have his guitar in his hand and his amp. We'd move on to the next gig. And yeah, just a crazy upbringing. He's also an artist as well. So why he gravitated towards Rye in the end from South London was the fact that he was an artist, he was a blues musician. And really, you just walk around Rye now and it's art houses and music is the stronghold of what goes on in this community. So yeah, crazy, crazy character.
And what was the best gig you ever went to?
The best gig, which I took my dad to, was my first time I ever went to a blues gig with my dad, was to go and see Buddy Guy live. Oh my God. I mean, Buddy Guy on a guitar is ridiculous. But when you see him live and he's just playing off the atmosphere, my dad's a funny one because he'll look at other blues artists and go, oh. But then you just saw his foot start going with Buddy Guy and you saw him and you're like, yeah, I know this is hitting the spot, and that's amazing. And also, I can't wait to go and see Mud Morganfield at St Mary's Church during the Rye Jazz Festival, because Muddy Waters' son, you're not going to hear that kind of music for much longer.
What is it about that sort of music?
At times, you can think it's quite depressing blues, because I've lost my baby and all this type of thing. But it's deep, you know, and it's got roots. And again, it goes back to family and communities, doesn't it? And that's why it works in places like this. It's about upbringing, hard times, good times, but there's a deep-rooted soul in it. The blues off the bass guitar, the riffs off the main guitar, just takes you. If you hear my dad play or when he's got his band with him, there's no structure. Like if you go to a rock gig, if they're feeling a certain way, the blues will just take them there. And I think for me, it's that just openness of the music. And when you listen to it, you can float with it. And yeah, brilliant.
Sounds like it's almost guiding your life a bit.
That's why, I mean, I absolutely love Elvis music, but that's because Elvis was deep-rooted in blues music when he was youngster as well. Music's definitely guided my life. If you look at my mum as well, because obviously my mum would have been there listening to the blues as well, but I was brought up on other things like Stevie Wonder and Sting and groups like that. And it's not just about one type of music. For me, it's about memories. I can put Fats Domino, Blueberry Hill, if that comes on, I'm listening to my mum immediately, who's not with us unfortunately anymore, but it's emotive, isn't it? As soon as that song comes on, I know. Brown Eyed Girl, if that comes on, I can picture my mum dancing. Drifters, my mum's dancing. So for me, music builds memories and relationships that you can look back at. So yeah, deep.
Right, I'm off to listen to some Elvis now. All the best to Mark Tozer and his new estate agency, Oliver's. Thanks also to Stuart from Clear Air Flying and to Catherine and to Toby at the Rye Windmill B&B. You can find all the contact details on the website, ryecast.org. Don't forget to subscribe to Ryecast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on Instagram and Twitter, it's RyecastSussex. And if you've got a story, do get in touch, ryecastsussex@gmail.com. Until next time, goodbye.